Welcome to another edition of the Media Twits. I'm Mark Glazer, executive editor of PBS Media Shift. And joining me from New York is Dorian Benkoil, sitting in for Rafat Ali. How are you doing?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. So you're going to be kind of reporting live from Internet Week in New York. There's been a lot of events going on this week, hasn't there?
Yeah, oh, it's insane. There's something like 145 events in various venues, and I've made two of them. So, you know.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's been there's been a lot going on in New York as far as internet related things when it comes to content and advertising. And of course, the big news this week is, you know, everyone's talking about everything going on mainly on the West Coast around the Facebook IPO, which should happen Friday morning. And the talk is basically, you know, who got shares, who didn't get shares, who's cashing out, who's getting taxed. That's basically been the big talk around here all week.
Yeah, and the talk here is there are two talks here, really. One is, I mean, I guess New York is more of a financial community. The talk here is, are the shares going to be overvalued? You know, who's going to cash out quickly? Who's going to be left holding the bag? And then the other question is this a tech bubble? And here at Internet Week, at the IAB show, the IAB Innovation Days show yesterday, Ron Conway, who's a noted tech investor from the West Coast, said that he felt that this is not a tech bubble. You know, the last time in the late 90s, it was a bubble because all these companies were getting high valuations with zero revenue. But this time, it's actual businesses getting, you know, acquired and made public and all that. So it was, you know, and he's certainly one of the icons of tech investing. And he does have some shares in Facebook. So, you know, full disclosure there.
Right. And it really depends. You know, there have been a bunch more IPOs recently, but this isn't, you know, the era of boo.com and just strange.coms that are just ideas, you know, that are out spending tons of money on parties and, you know, they didn't really have much of a business model at all. I mean, there's definitely, you know, when it comes to local, mobile, social, you know, there are startups that are being bought out. And I think that's kind of what's happening more often than IPOs is that, you know, Facebook will have this huge cash hoard, which could be raising up to $20 billion. You know, what are they going to spend that on? I mean, they bought Instagram for $1 billion. They buy small startups all the time. And that's been something that people have given them a lot of credit for. So, you know, that's where part of the bubble has, I mean, there's almost a bubble just in the fact of what Facebook is doing and what they're creating out in Palo Alto. I mean, they've talked about property prices in Menlo Park and Palo Alto going up just because of this one event.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other bubble is, you know, can they ever generate enough revenue to justify a $100 billion or so valuation? You know, because they're selling a little less than 20% of the company. So if they raise $20 billion, that values the company at $100 billion. And to justify that kind of valuation, they would have to earn many multiples more revenue than they're earning now. And their revenue has actually not grown recently. It's slowed a bit. So, you know, there are people asking some really legitimate questions with all kinds of numbers and, you know, saying this the prices that they're talking about up to $45 a share just don't make sense.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more with our guests. We'll be talking about Internet Week and also about the Facebook IPO and how it's being received there and what the chat is around the IPO, which should be scheduled for Friday, which is right when this podcast will be posted. And then we'll talk about the awards season. We've got the Webby Awards coming out next week. There's going to be a ceremony and it'll be streamed live. So we'll have David Michel Davies from the Webby Awards and also Josh Seifert, who's a little bit kind of skeptical about all the awards, and we'll talk about that second. So today our show is going to be posted right as Facebook plans to go public in what could be the biggest tech IPO in history, raising up to $18 billion, pricing up to $38 a share, and valuing the company at more than $100 billion. Mark Zuckerberg's personal net worth puts him in the top 10 Americans. However, eMarketer predicts that Facebook won't hit revenue predictions for 2012, coming up short. And recently, GM pulled $10 million in ads from Facebook. Plus, this is Internet Week in New York, full of events, parties, and talks. So our guests are Deborah Aho Williamson, is eMarketer's principal analyst focusing on social media marketing and the demographics of social media users. She produces eMarketer's forecast for social network advertising spending in the U.S. and worldwide, and provides key insights into how marketers, media, and consumers are engaging with social media. We worked together at one time at the Industry Standard Magazine. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me. I'll tell you, Mark, this IPO this week takes me right back to those days of the Industry Standard. I mean, it's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Definitely. And we're also joined with Troy Young, who's president of Say Media. He joined Say's predecessor, VideoEgg, as CMO in 2006 to build the company's advertising offering and establish a leadership position in the online video advertising market. Prior to Say's predecessor, VideoEgg, Troy was EVP of Chief Experience Officer at Organic, one of the world's leading digital marketing agencies. Welcome to the show, Troy.
Thank you very much for having me.
So Deborah, let's start with you and what's going on with Facebook. That's all we've been hearing about all week is how this stock is going to be, it's oversubscribed, no one can even buy the stock right now. It's going to basically go to the moon. People have been clamoring for shares of it. What do you see happening this week and beyond for Facebook?
This week is, like you said, absolutely crazy. I mean, I think that every single business and tech journalist is on the Facebook story today and all this week. I actually saw on Twitter that CNBC apparently has devoted nearly all of their coverage today to Facebook. So that just tells you just how momentous this week is and how momentous tomorrow is going to be. Facebook has been a revolutionary company in so many ways, and that's really why it's getting so much attention. I think that Facebook's got a lot of things going on, which will make it an interesting company to watch for the next few years. You mentioned ad revenue, at the opener here, and you're right. I mean, we had been forecasting that Facebook would have $5 billion in ad revenue this year, which would be about a 60% increase from last year. But we did see, as you alluded to, that in Q1, Facebook's ad revenues and revenues overall didn't grow as quickly as expected. So we're going to be watching those numbers really closely, when we come out with our next forecast, later this year.
So, I mean, is that why do you think they fell short? I mean, what are kind of the weaknesses of Facebook long term? Is there a question as to whether the advertising works as well as people thought it would?
Well, certainly, if you when you saw GM, pulling out this week, that did raise a lot of questions. Now, $10 million, which is the reported amount that GM was going to spend, is a drop in the bucket compared to, Facebook's total ad revenue, which again we were forecasting at $5 billion this year. So in numbers, it's not that important. But I think in what it says about advertisers' attitudes toward Facebook is really important to pay attention to. I think it's signifying that marketers are still having a really tough time figuring out how to use Facebook advertising in an effective way. And part of that probably is the fault of companies like GM, who perhaps maybe don't have a good handle on what they can do on Facebook and what metrics they should be paying attention to, and what they should be tracking as a measure of success. But I think part of the blame goes to Facebook as well, because Facebook controls so much data about people, and they know that. And they've been very, very careful and very judicious about what they share with marketers and their agencies about people's interactions with brands on Facebook. So I think over time, you're going to have to see Facebook open up more and provide more information to marketers in order for them to feel comfortable knowing the effectiveness of the advertising.
Troy, you're in New York at the Internet Week kind of festivities there. What's the talk there around Facebook? Is it a lot about, are you going to own the stock or not? Is Facebook going to really be long term? You know, what do you feel is the talk there, especially with advertisers and brands?
Well, in all honesty, I flew in on the red eye this morning from San Francisco, where I was knee deep in our annual sales conference. We brought 200 or 300 people into to San Francisco from 11 or 12 different markets to talk about how we too can get more of those advertising dollars. You know, I think that, and so I'm here just kind of in and out to speak at the IAB event today. I don't have a huge. I'm sort of heads down and trying to build, you know, our own company. I think that you know, it's a lot of work to scale up a business to manage the complexities of advertising relationships at that scale, and the complexities of companies like General Motors, where there is a huge amount of learning involved in the sale. This is much more sophisticated selling than simply buy a 30-second spot on a television station. So, you know, I would expect there to be ups and downs as they scale on, but you know, I think that the point is that there is a tremendous amount of market power. People spend a lot of time there, and there's a lot of data. I do think that the question isn't will people spend on, or will General Motors ultimately spend on Facebook? It's how much will they spend.
Now, you have a background in kind of video advertising. Do you see that as kind of a weakness on Facebook? I mean, I don't see a whole lot of video ads
Yeah.
there.
Listen, I look at to me, advertising is pretty simplistic when you boil it down. We are a media company. You know, we use the medium of video, but we also are innovators in the display space. And we create media. To me, the sort of pursuit of to work on the internet is finding the right balance between, you know, content, user experience, functionality, and an ad message. Different platforms weave, you know, advertising in different ways to suit that platform. And there's always a tension, and there always will be a tension. There's a tension on television, there's a tension on radio, there's a tension on Pandora, there's, you know, and I think that, you know, publishers in some ways play this game of chicken. It's, you know, it's this, you know, it's always been an exchange where a consumer gets a valuable free service in exchange for, you know, their time and awareness of brands. So, you know, I think just to get back to your question, that SiteGround in Motion has always been extraordinarily popular as a brand building mechanism. Facebook does very little in that regard. It's not a natural environment to deliver rich, you know, advertising. The trade-off is data data and scale. And that's what they do well.
Deborah, how do you put a kind of a dollar figure or value on the data that Facebook has? I mean, they've got all this information about people. They've obviously gone over the line a little bit in some of the collection of it, but you know, the bottom line is they know about, you know, people just willingly give all their information, you know, in many cases to Facebook without really even thinking about it.
Well, I mean, I think that the dollar value of the data is evidenced in, you know, the extraordinary, you know, market value that this company is going to have as soon as it finishes its IPO. I mean, it's being valued at, you know, up to $100 billion or even more, depending on, you know, how things ultimately shake out. And the IPO is going to generate $16 billion for the company, according to one report that I read. So this clearly shows that investors see that the value of Facebook is this data. And it's definitely got more information about people, about its users, its 900 million users, than just about any company around. And that can be really exciting, but it also can be really scary.
No question. So let's talk a little bit about Internet Week, and what's going on there, Dorian. What are you seeing there, as far as the different trends, what people are talking about?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things I see, and it's you know, kind of a trend that I see not just at Internet Week, but that I've seen coming over time. One is data. You know, we're well in for the people who are at these kinds of conferences, who are, you know, kind of the movers and shakers of ad networks and that kind of advertising. We're well into the world of real-time bidding. Which means, you know, basically a live auction model for advertising where a publisher releases an advertising spot and it's immediately snapped up by somebody who's willing to pay whatever the price they've set is. So this kind of real-time auction advertising is now moving into a new phase where people are starting to say, you know, how verified is that data? Can I have more data? And then there was a fascinating presentation from a measurement company called Quantcast yesterday, where he demonstrated, according to their data, that if you bid real time for an ad but don't base the value on click-through, you actually get more commerce over time. So there's just a lot of playing with data and a lot of people looking at ways to do it.
So now we'll talk about the Webby Awards show, which is coming up next week. This is the 16th annual Webby Awards. The award winners were named, but there'll be a ceremony coming on May 21st, streamed live online at webbyawards.com with Patton Oswalt and Bjork. It's famous for its five-word acceptance speeches, and there are jury awards and People's Voice Awards. This year, factcheck.org won in politics. The Daily Beast and BBC won in news, and The New Yorker and The Onion won for best writing. Our guests are David Michel Davies, who's executive producer of the Webby Awards and co-founder of Internet Week and netted by the Webbies. 13 years ago as a junior staffer, standing side stage, he watched Napster founders Sean Parker and Sean Fanning accept the Webby for best music experience. Today he leads the organization from their office in New York's Flatiron District. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Josh Seifert is a marketing strategist at Huge, a digital agency based out of Brooklyn, New York. In his role at Huge, Josh identifies and maps user behavior, preferences, and goals to guide strategic initiatives for some of Huge's largest clients, including Target and American Express. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
So, David Michel, let's start with you and the Webby Awards. This is now the 16th year, so this means the web has kind of grown up a little bit. How have things changed this year with the Webbies?
If you look all the way back to when we started, there was, maybe 100 million people at some point a few years after we started online, and now there's 3 billion, 4 billion, it was 5 billion potentially. So obviously the internet is, and the web is just, grown probably even more than what could have been imagined. And so that's one huge thing. And then for us, just from last year, we have a new host this year we're super excited about. We have Patton Oswalt hosting, who's like the dorkiest dork of the geekiest geeks. And I mean that as only the best kind of compliment. So we're super excited about that too.
You had to go for the geekiest person you could possibly get, basically.
Also funny, though. Not just geeky,
and funny.
The perfect combination of dorky and funny and geeky, yeah.
And, I mean, you guys go beyond just the web in a way. I mean, you've done awards for, things beyond that, mobile apps, so much more, it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, our mission, it's called the Webbies, because when we started, the web was sort of like one of the only things happening on the internet that regular people interface with. I mean, there was email, sure enough, that's true. And so we call it the Webbies. Today, obviously, the internet is much more expansive than just the web. And our mission has always been to honor outstanding achievement on the internet. So, as mobile took off a few years ago after the iPhone, we've obviously been honoring apps and mobile sites as well. We also honor online film and video. So that's video work that was created for premiered online. That's everything from like great Funny or Die videos to, PBS stuff that runs exclusively online. To documentaries and news and all sorts of online shows. So, it's certainly grown. I mean, like I said, at the top, the internet's really grown. So it's we've pretty much mirrored that, I think.
So, Josh, you wrote a piece recently just saying, what's been wrong with digital awards lately? And one of your complaints was that you felt a lot of the things that won awards were just from other mediums that were just being kind of put online. What would you say was kind of your big criticism?
I think that the problem with digital awards has become that they seem to really just represent and become indistinguishable from advertising awards, because you know the folks that are really most interested in winning these and for whom you know this is relevant in appeals are really marketers and agencies. But you know the result is that things like just digital advertising become where you know an agency is making a great commercial become overrepresented in terms of what's recognized as great online, but really you know advertising online isn't so great, and what's really great is the kinds of experiences that brands and companies create where people can actually do something and get real value out of. And I feel like that's underrepresented in digital awards.
So do you feel, Josh, that you know Google AdWords should win because they're the most effective and that's what people spend the most money on?
No, I mean I think that AdWords are obviously very effective at driving immediate kinds of conversion, and that's a piece of awesome marketing that can be really effective. But you know that's in combination with all kinds of other advertising or awareness things that are going out there. But to me, the things that are really exciting in digital are you know the large scale programs like a Nike Plus or Starbucks' digital experience, which you know might win an award in a narrow category and be recognized as a great application. But really, it's not just about being a nice application. It's those are the kinds of things that are more holistic solutions that come to life in digital, but are really rooted in what consumers want, what they engage with, what they find interesting, and what a brand is trying to accomplish from a marketing perspective.
How would you respond to that, Davi, Michelle? I mean, do you feel like you guys have done a better job, or you could do a better job at you know, giving awards to things that are more interactive and not as much just kind of coming from another medium?
I hope so. We don't really look at the Webbies as an advertising award, and I certainly don't think it's similar at all to advertising awards. We definitely have advertising categories. We think interactive advertising is part of the internet, and a lot of it's really fun. And we think a lot of it's great and we want to honor that, but you know, it's really a very narrow part at the end of the day of the Webby Awards. We have, like I said, we honor online film and video, we honor websites, we honor apps. And so it's a nice piece of that. But I think the work that won in those advertising categories this year, all of it's great, but I think a lot of it actually is super interactive. And I think, you know, he mentioned Nike Plus. You know, Nike Plus was a winner. You know, I won multiple Webby Awards when it, you know, the first year and so when it came out. So I think, I think we're there. But we're not really like the Clio's or a Con One Show or whatever it is. You know, we're honoring Bjork this year as the Artist of the Year for a music that she made, an album that she made out of an app, or an app that she made out of an album. We're also honoring Louis C.K. for what he did online with his comedy show. We're honoring Instagram. So, you know, I think these are not really traditional advertising. This isn't really advertising at all.
I'm wondering if we've reached an era where, you know, even like Webby is too big a thing to talk about. That's kind of like saying, you know, media awards. And if we're getting to a point where we should really be splitting them out into separate things, like the comedy award, you know, like is the medium itself even relevant? It's more like comedy and people do it on lots of platforms and advertising and people do it on lots of platforms. So I'm wondering if, you know, the Webbies have just grown to a point where it's almost unmanageable and trying to keep it all under one tent.
Well, I think that there's a lot of commonality between, the internet has some very specific traits and I think has a very specific ethos. And I think the really great stuff, it infects that, you know, and I think that's the spirit that we're trying to honor. And there is a commonality between great online video and great online advertising and great mobile. And I do think that, you know, there's a spirit of the internet that connects that stuff together. At the end of the day, it is all about interactivity, is about you and you participating in the experience. So I don't see that on television and on radio and these other places. So from our perspective, I think it is very unique, and If you watch the show on Monday, I think you'll see the award show itself really brings to life how unique it is. It's a show that's really unlike all of the others, and it's a show that could never exist in any of the other to honor any of those other mediums. So, you know, I think it's pretty it's still pretty unique.
Is there anything that you guys would like to add to it, or you know, even make better, or new parts of the awards? I mean, I saw this year you guys are adding this meme of the year. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, for sure. We're super excited about it. We're going to be honoring the Webby Meme of the Year. We partnered with BuzzFeed to select the memes. The BuzzFeed community is actually voting online right now. Anybody can go vote at buzzfeed.com/thewebbyawards. The nominees are Nyan Cat, Text from Hillary, and of course
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Don't forget Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, I have to tell you, I personally hope he wins. And I have a selfish reason, because my daughter is friendly with his daughter, and I met him at a birthday party, and in real life, he's just a middle, you know, schlumpy dad like me. So
the great thing is, the thing we're so excited about is that not all of the memes are people. And that's been a really fun challenge for us. Like, what do we do if Nyan Cat wins? That's not a person. Right. So we're actually honoring something that's not represented by a person. It's something that was sort of in a weird way created by the whole internet at large. And back to is the internet unique still? There's another great example of that. Like I said, I'd love to encourage people to watch, your listeners. You have such a great audience, to watch the show. Like I said, it's super different, and it's really, really fun. It's 5:30 Eastern. Anybody can watch it on webbywards.com on Monday.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Great conversation. I appreciate being part of it.
Yeah, and thanks for coming on, Josh.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Media Twits. I'm Mark Glazer, executive editor of PBS Media Shift. Along with my co-host, Dorian Benkoil, we want to thank our guests, Deborah Williamson, Troy Young, David Michel Davies, and Josh Seifert. We want to thank PBS and the Knight Foundation for making this podcast possible. Be sure to check out all the news, polls, and events over at PBS Media Shift at pbs.org/mediashift and our sister site, Idealab, at pbs.org/idealab and our new site, Collaboration Central, at collaborationcentral.org. We'll catch you next week.